So we are going to turn this morning to the last chapter of John's Gospel. We are in the last chapter of the Gospel. We are in the last chapter of Mark. We're not finished with Mark yet. And so we're not finished with John yet, or Matthew or Luke, but very close. So we will begin John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Let us hear the word of the living God. John 21, 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. Now that doesn't mean he didn't have any clothes on. He just didn't have his coat on there, the upper part of his body, because he was working, and it was a wet, sweaty work. And what did he do when he put the coat on? He had cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst or dared ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Amen. We trust that the Lord will bless his word today. We do need the help of the Spirit of God. So let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank thee for thy great love. What love that sent this kind, compassionate, and humble Savior, thy dear Son. We love thee, Lord Jesus, because thou hast first loved us. And oh, Holy Spirit, we pray that thou wilt breathe upon us today. Breathe upon the preacher. Breathe upon the hearers, that we may receive thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everything about our Savior was an act of condescending to man, even to men of low estate. His birth was humble, and as a weak babe, he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. During his humble ministry, his name was abused by his enemies, the religious enemies that he had in particular were abusing his name. And they finally managed to have that opportunity in the will of God to abuse his body. He humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which was so utterly horrible. After his resurrection, the Savior appeared to many, but he especially visited his apostles when either all of them or several of them were gathered together. And why did he do so? No doubt they needed their faith strengthening as well as the other believers did. But it was also his very nature to long for their company. If you remember reading in the Old Testament, before he ever condescended into this world by his incarnation, at the very creation of the habitable earth, Christ, the wisdom of God, was already loving his people. And Proverbs 8 and verse 31 says, "And my delights were with the sons of men." He longs for fellowship with his people more than we ever long for fellowship with him. Let's remember that. He longs for fellowship with us more than we ever long for fellowship with him. So he came to these apostles again. Several of them were gathered. Christ was very unlike his predecessor, John the Baptist, his forerunner. If you remember, John the Baptist and his disciples fasted often. John the Baptist's ministry was rather austere, and he was out there in the wilderness living a very strict life. But our Lord Jesus Christ did very differently. He regularly ate and drank with needy souls, or he was either feeding the thousands with his own hands. His enemies liked to use what he did as a mockery of him. In Luke chapter 5, verse 30, they asked, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" You don't need to be with these lowly people. Jesus answered, said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Boy, that hits you right in the gut if you're a Pharisee demeaning Christ for eating with publicans and sinners. Those are the kind of people I came to call. I didn't come to call the righteous. They needed to be in prayer that God would have mercy on them and call them. Otherwise, they would be forever lost. After his resurrection, the Lord continued to eat and drink with his apostles. Did you realize that? He not only served them, he not only had a honeycomb and some fish, but Peter said to Cornelius when he was preaching in that centurion's home in Acts chapter 10 and verse 41, he said that Christ revealed himself in his resurrection body, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So that was something that he did. He ate and drank with his disciples even after his resurrection. We know what he said, that he wouldn't drink again of the fruit of the vine until he drank it new in the kingdom. but he did eat and drink with them. And he tells us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 37, that when he comes again, he will gird himself as a servant, making his waiting and watching people sit down to eat while he serves them himself. Wow. What a serving Christ, the exalted sovereign of the universe, coming and saying, now y'all sit down. I'm going to serve y'all. Wow. That is amazing. Are we beginning to see what a kind and compassionate, humble, loving Savior and King we have? In our text this morning, we have Christ's third appearance to a group of his disciples. We're told that in verse 14. Now, this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, especially to those gathered together in a fair number. You know, he did that when they were afraid and had the doors shut, and he just came right in. Thomas wasn't there, but the next time Thomas was there with the rest of them. And now he comes to them the third time to a gathered group of his apostles. Now, it was just as Christ himself had said, and it was just as the angels had said. If you remember, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 7, the angel said, go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. And there ye shall see him as he said unto you. Now, when did Jesus say it to them? Just a little while before. Were they listening? Or were they still trying to figure out who's going to be the number one preacher at the top of the list? The greatest preacher among the apostles. They're talking about that all the time. And Jesus is telling him important stuff. On the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus told them that he would rise from the dead and go before them into Galilee. Matthew 26 and verse 32, he said that. Were they listening? In Matthew 28, verse 7, again, the angel said, tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. But as I said before, the Lord is even better than his promises. He showed up multiple times before they went to Galilee. He's so good. So the scene here in John 21 opens at the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee, also known as Lake Gennesaret. What a beautiful spot. 600 feet below sea level, a 12-mile long freshwater lake, 6 miles wide, being fed from those mountain streams, those cool waters coming down from the snow-capped Mount Hermon. And then the outlet to the south of the Sea of Galilee running into the Jordan River. How beautiful. So Peter was there. Thomas was there. Thomas was staying close at hand now. And James and John, we're told the sons of Zebedee, that's who they were. And then there was Nathanael, which is believed to be another name for Bartholomew, because you know they had different names. Peter, Simon Peter, Cephas, you know, they all had different names. And you know, you got more than one name, so don't worry about it. And the others, we don't know who the other two were. They were back at home after the Passover and after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. If you remember, those apostles, as well as the Lord Jesus Christ, had been cared for financially by the wealthy women from Galilee that had supported their ministry so they would have food to eat. Didn't necessarily mean they had a place to sleep, but at least they had food to eat. But they were back at home. And now they could earn money again. Now they could go back to what they knew so well. And so there was nothing wrong at all with Peter saying. Some of the commentators jump on Peter. He wasn't being very spiritual. But no, the Lord was going to speak to him on that very situation of the fishing trip. And he was going to be recommissioned. And then he was going to have a big catch of fish on the day of Pentecost and thereafter. But there was nothing wrong with Peter saying, now what he said literally, there I go a fishing, you know, right there in chapter 21 in verse 3, I go a fishing. Well, the text literally says, I'm leaving. Leaving where? They must have been in the house. And he said, to go fishing. It's an infinitive. The others followed, and immediately they entered into a ship, we're told there in verse 3. Now, according to the original language in this context, they had two vessels. I trust you're going to see that. They had a ship that was out in the water, and they had a little skiff that you could go out to the ship in the deeper water. And this little skiff, this little small boat, took them out to it. And they also, it tells us about that a little farther on. One was large enough to be deemed a ship, and there they toiled all night in that ship with a net, and they caught nothing. Now, those of you that have done much fishing know that there are days like that when you just get no fish. And hallelujah! The kind, loving, compassionate Jesus had planned that sweet morning for a third appearance to them. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And the Lord was there. They didn't recognize Jesus in that early dawn and at quite a distance. Now, I want you to notice with me where this other boat was. Verse 8. Now, look at verse 8. It's a completely different word for the vessel here. And the other disciples came in a little ship. Now, it tells us the position of that ship. For they were not far from land, the shallow water vessel, but as it were 200 cubits. The first ship was out about the length of a football field. Okay? And the other ship where the disciples were fishing was farther out. Okay? So you can imagine, at that distance in the early morning, it would be hard to recognize somebody way, way in there on the shore. So they didn't recognize Jesus. And they thought, well, maybe it's somebody there waiting to buy some fish, which is a good thing, which is a normal thing. And he called out affectionately to them, children, have you any meat? And they answered, no. It was such a distance, there was no need for a great exchange or elaboration. Well, Christ begins to reveal himself, and that's the message today. He reveals himself. And he reveals himself to them in four ways. And I want to point these out today. He reveals himself first in a very timely manner. It was a time of real need. The apostles needed food and the apostles needed money. They were back at home there in their region of Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, where they had all grown up. All of those that have been mentioned were from that area. We know there were some from down south, but we're not worried about them right now. But it was a time for food and making money. Very often Christ waits to be gracious. Do you ever think, I wish God would hurry up with this? Sometimes we think that. But very often Christ waits to be gracious. When we're getting to our lowest, The Lord meets us with His help. Sometimes when we are at our wits' end, as we read in Psalm 107, the Lord comes, we're encouraged, we're lifted up from our sorrow and our hopelessness when the Lord helps with His gracious providence. And He did that for them that morning. He had planned that morning. Christ revealed Himself in a timely manner. But I want you to notice also, secondly, He revealed Himself in a gradual manner. They could see Him, but they didn't know who He was. Though they had been intimately acquainted with Him for over 3 years, they didn't recognize Him in that early morning. There might have been a low fog, but it was a distance out there. And in His resurrection body, they did recognize Him after a moment. You know, in His other appearances, they realized who He was and how glorious He is. And they weren't really expecting to see Him out there at that place and at that time. But sometimes the Lord is nearer to us than we think He is. How many times has the Lord Himself or one of His angels drawn near, protected us, and even shielded us from sin? I know some real moments in my life where I said, wow, just like John said, it is the Lord. Okay. When He spoke again in verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Surely it stirred up a faint memory of years before. The memory began to return, especially to the thoughtful one, to John, the beloved apostle. And once the net was full of fish, John knew for certain. And he said to Peter, it is the Lord. He knew. The Lord revealed Himself in a timely manner, in a gradual manner. But thirdly, He revealed Himself in a compassionate manner. What a tender word. The very first word He spoke to them. Children! He said, you bunch of faithless guys, what are you doing out there? No, He didn't say that. He said, children. He used that tender expression. You are my sons in the faith. You are, of course, my sons by creation, but you are especially my sons in grace of salvation. They were children given to Him by His Father. As a tender father, He asked if they were provided for, as God had promised. Children, have ye any meat? Have ye any meat? Well, God had promised. One of God's promises to His people in Psalm 37, verse 3, verily, there is that eternal name, the Amen. Verily, thou shalt be fed. God doesn't promise that to everybody. We grieve over world hunger. We send money. We do all that we can to feed the poor. And yet, God never promised everyone plenty to eat. He only promised His people, verily, thou shalt be fed. Christ cares for His people. His heart is especially touched with the needs of His poor people. And while He was on earth, He knew by experience Himself the pinch of poverty. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. So his heart and his hands are open and ready to give to those who ask. But how many have not because they ask not? They don't even believe right. They don't know who he is. Christ asked the question, "Children, have ye any meat?" Not because he didn't know, but because he would make them know and feel their poverty and be fully aware of it. Then he would graciously supply out of his abundance because all things are his. And he was showing great compassion to them as a loving and tender Lord and Savior. Finally, he revealed himself in a timely way, gradually, compassionately, and then powerfully. First of all, Christ commanded. It's a command. In his sovereign divine power, what the disciples were to do. And then he told them what they would receive. Look there at verse 6. And he said unto them, he commanded them, cast, it's in the imperative, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. It's there waiting on you. You've been fishing on the wrong side of the ship. Now fish on the right side. So there were no questions to be asked. They must obey the divine imperative. Even though they had taken their nets up and they had given up on a fruitless night's toil, though they were ready to come ashore and rest that morning, yet the word came with such awesome power and promise that they must obey. They were powerless to disobey the direct sovereign command of God. Not even the inhabitants under the waters are hidden from him. Job 26 verse 5. He knew the fish were on the right side of the ship, just waiting to get into that net. He who knows how many hairs are on your head and every little sparrow that falls knows, but not only knows, controls all things. All things are under Christ's feet and power, even the fish of the sea. We sang in Psalm 8 this morning. The power of Christ was their relief. Those that had left all to follow him would not lack any good thing. Had he not promised? He had promised. God, our Savior, Christ Jesus, is as good as His promises, but He's better than His promises. What had started in John's memory was totally assured when he saw the vast catch of fish. 153 of them. He said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And that was all it took for Peter. He quickly put on his coat and into the water he plunged. To go to Jesus. He couldn't wait to be with Christ that morning. He left quickly, just as the woman at the well left her water pot. Peter jumped in. And just as he had done back when Jesus was walking on the water, it was Peter ready to go out of the ship. So he quickly swam to Jesus. Then the other disciples came, we are told, in verse 8. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, verse 8, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon as they were come to land, in that shallow vessel, dragging the net with the fish, what did they see? They saw that Christ already had a campfire and he had fish cooking and bread. Breakfast was ready. And that translated, come and dine, is actually come to breakfast in the original. How beautiful. So Peter helped him pull it all in But you know, there are some lessons here for us today. This is a wonderful experience in the life of the disciples and how tremendous revelation of Christ, who He is. In the matter of simple obedience, Christ commanded them to cast the net again. They obeyed and were blessed. And that is God's pattern. Psalm 19, verse 11, in the keeping of God's commands, there is great reward. Let's remember that. In obeying God's commands, there's great reward. Are we being obedient to Him? Do His commandments mean anything to us? Do we ever review them? Do we ever see how we're doing? Do we ever fall on our faces before God when those commandments tell us how we really are? Simple obedience. Keep on obeying. As Matthew Henry wrote, Matthew Henry made these wonderful words. He said, one catch like that is sufficient to pay many years of toil at the gospel net. Keep on obeying. Keep on giving the gospel, and the Lord is sure to bless. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Third lesson, it is the Lord. When Peter heard that, he was leaping into the water, going to Christ. Yes, the lesson is very plain. Hurry to Jesus. Go to Him. Go to Him now. Get to Him quickly as you can. He has commanded, come unto me and ye shall find rest unto your soul. I hope we can even clarify that a little more this evening from this passage. You'll find rest for your soul. You'll find what you need to make you truly happy. Because Jesus said, if you take the bread of life and if you believe on me, you will never hunger, never thirst again. Because only the Lord Jesus has the power to fulfill your life and to make you truly happy. Nothing else can do it. No one else can do it. Only Christ. You will find rest unto your soul. A final lesson. Oh, how good and loving is our Lord Jesus Christ. He cares for us. Even though we are sometimes slow and backward to seek our spiritual nourishment from Him, what does He do? He says in Isaiah that He will be found of them that seek Him not. The Lord reveals Himself to us by His grace, by His providence sometimes, in places where we least expect Him. Let us pray together. Our loving Father in heaven, oh, what a gift Thou hast given to us in Thine other self, Thy darling Son, the one who could say, He that has seen me hath seen the Father. We worship Thee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for such a great salvation. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt make the sin satisfied hungry for Jesus Christ today. We pray that Thou wilt cause us, O Lord, as Thine own blood-bought people, to seek Thee more, to desire a closer walk with God, to enjoy Thee more, so that we don't find ourselves thirsting and hungering again because we're not enjoying Thee enough. Oh, help us, oh God, to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.